Okay, let me go to Paul Bell, who's here on behalf of SIPTU, and your General Secretary, Jack O'Connor, was talking about the prospects yesterday and talking about the abolition of the pension levy.
Well, yes, I mean, it all makes the point very well that there's been speculation about a 2 and 3% pay increase. That's not where we are, because a commitment has been given that people on low pay would be forced to benefit from any upturn in the economy. So this is the position that we're in. We believe that the way of trying to tackle severe pay cuts for low-pay public servants has been to look at the pension levy and to repeal it or abolish it altogether. That's how we see it. And that would bring about an understanding of where we could reach flat rate increases right across the board. Getting into percentages while the pension levy still exists, well, there's universal social charge, which is also in the mix for government and coming the budget in October. We believe would be a wasted exercise, but we're going to hold the government to account on the basis that they are saying at this stage that they wish to unwind, that's the minister's words, Minister Howland's words, unwind the financial emergency legislation. And we want to make sure that we get to the end of that. Now, that's going to be a gradual unwinding. We don't see it as a big bang effect.
How gradual, though? What does that mean?
Well, I would suspect that we would look to see could we maybe achieve that over a 2 or 3 year period. But again, I'm sure government are going to outline their position tomorrow, Michael, in the negotiations which will be held in the afternoon. Government are going to set their stall out where they are. They're obviously going to tell our members to their expectations. We've already sent a message from SIPTU health workers that basically government have got to also manage their expectations.
Are you concerned that this is being played up a bit too much? Because you can't please all of the people all of the time, but it is very easy to disappoint everybody. And it's not just public sector workers who are looking for something back. People are expecting changes in income tax. People are expecting improvements in services. And everybody could lose out. And
that's why it's got to be balanced. It's got to be responsible. There's been a lot of talking about what's going to happen. In fact, even the issues that we're discussing tomorrow, many people think across the economy or across Irish society, that's all about pay for public servants. And actually, it's not. Owen makes the point, actually, any pay adjustment in the upward direction benefits the local economy. We've always talked about our members being able to participate in their local economy. But there are two other massive issues that have to be dealt with in these negotiations, and that's job security issues. Mm. We now have approximately 1,300 interns in the health service, which we are now seeking permanent positions for. We believe those people should be, because of the staff recruitment moratorium now being relaxed, we want to see that for lower paid workers. We want to see government give a huge demonstration of confidence that our members in those jobs can now get permanency. We also have an issue which is still very, very problematic, which is outsourcing of work. And this has been caused by two particular elements. One is, obviously, you couldn't recruit people. We've overcome that because we can recruit people in all to the various services, and also capital investment. So whatever happens, as Owen has rightly made, there is a particular pot. It's got to be shared out in a way that benefits job security, benefits take-home pay, and benefits the local economy.
Okay, Owen Renata, are you concerned about the politics involved in all of this? Because there's many unknowns. If, for example, people decided not to pay water charges and they were abolished, the government would be looking for €800 million all of a sudden. Greece could be leaving the Eurozone quite soon. The UK could be leaving the European Union in the next few years. And it could be a situation that strikes a deal with the trade union movement, announces it in October to be introduced in January, then we go into a general election, and the next government has to undo it all.
Jeepers, Michael, after that, I might decide to go to talk at all. no, listen, look, we are the place where we've taken some time to get to. Sorry, I shouldn't be so facetious in radio, but yes,
I do it all the time.
It's a very difficult time, Michael.
Yes.
And there's no question about that, and nobody on our side. Paul and I are absolutely on the one page here. There's nobody on our side taking this flippantly or looking at this as some sort of an easy do exercise. But we do have to have an orderly unwinding of FEMPI. All unions are agreed on that in the Public Services Committee of Congress. Our members have really been at the edge for the last number of years. And I really want to make this clear, and I know Paul will feel exactly the same, We in the trade union movement do not differentiate between private sector and public sector jobs and as to which is more valuable than the other. And in fact, I come from a tradition of working with a semi-state private sector union before I ever came to work in the civil service. And everything we do is about trying to drive wages and conditions for workers, whether they're private or public, upwards. That's what we do in trade unions, and we don't apologise for that. And I've heard a lot of commentators, and I read in the Sunday Business Post the article over the weekend, and I'm sorry, as a trade unionist, I'm not going to apologise for trying to improve the conditions of the people that I represent. That's my job, and that's what I passionately believe in. And I know that that's the same for private sector union workers and their representatives. We have a job of work to do. There is a gap between public and private sector pay, but it is one that's not very closely analysed, and it's often reflected incorrectly. That gap, you've got to judge like with like, and public service workers are by and large represented by trade unions, and in many cases at the lower end are heavily dominated by women workers. And we have been very successful in the trade union movement at protecting women workers in the public service. The same can't be said, unfortunately, for large tracts of the private sector. So, you know, it's really important that the wider public understand that trade unions are going to do their job in the next couple of days for public servants. And remember, those public servants have been to with greatly diminished resources in terms of staffing and in terms of facilities, have delivered public services where the demand is actually increasing.
Okay, perhaps we can conclude on that, because I think both of you would agree about the argument that's brewing in terms of increased productivity, and that might be a sticking point. Paul Bell, if you could just finish up, please.
Well, first of all, we made it quite clear to Minister Holland that we will not be negotiating pay restoration for productivity. We made that very clear. We have the Haddington Road Agreement, which commits the trade union group to work with productivity and efficiency in the public service. Throughout these negotiations, we are still in that agreement. We are still working to create those efficiencies within that agreement. But we are not going to get into a position where pay restoration issues productivity. Okay. If we were in the business of pay increases for productivity, that would be a different discussion.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you both indeed for joining us.